You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's time for Seminole Headlines featuring WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron, managing editor Ira Schofel, and senior writer Corey Clark. Your weekly dose of all things FSU, pistols, and pies starts right now. Here's Jeff Cameron.
The Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, WarChant TV begins right now. Great to be with you as always. There's Ira, there's Corey. Gentlemen, how are you?
When do you think we got the marching band drumline thing intro?
I can't remember. Seriously, do you know,
Tom,
do you know when that was? 2016-ish?
Okay, right.
2016-ish. It is signature, isn't it?
It is.
It is. Yeah.
It gets me fired up.
Like, it's ideal.
Like Register Sausage does.
Which is for next hour, but you want to... it's this hour, but I was going to just place...
It's every hour.
Well, that's true, too. Yay, sausage!
There you go. And we got the new hats, guys. We got the new hats in.
Yeah.
Ben and Will dropped off a couple of new hats. Corey's holding up the lovely blue.
I like it.
With the Register's logo. We call that.
I have the blue one. Ben gave it to me at the golf
course.
It's nice.
If I could wear hats, I would. It would be on my head.
Put it on. Show everybody how good you look in a hat.
You guys want to see this?
Yeah.
This isn't going to move merch like you think it is, but it looks better on most people, just not this head.
And then this is the crisp black one with the white
script.
That is
a good look, too. What did I do with my black hat? It's in here.
You look good, Corey. You look good. There's nothing that can make you look bad at this point.
This is perfect. I don't look like a shitload.
There we go. There you go. That's good.
And you can order those at registermeats.com. They're part of the inventory now, along with when you're ordering your jalapeno cheddar.
So you got gear and everything else.
Yeah, man, they're rolling over that Register sausage. But... it's not the hats that really make Register sausage,
It's
guys.
The actual sausage.
It is the sausage. Mm-hmm. And you can have it, especially if you live in North Florida, over to Alabama, South Georgia, really amping up the presence into South Carolina, towards Tampa.
Yeah.
And go to your local grocery store and ask them kindly. We always start kindly, guys. But then if they don't have the Register sausage, then you got to take things in your own hands.
It's like in the original Roadhouse where he says you're nice right up until the point you're not
exactly.
Nice.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's how you are at Register.
I think that's the Register's motto.
We're nice until we're not.
Yeah. And but if you don't live in this part of the country, registermeats.com is the website you can have delivered along with order your hats. And the other thing I wanted to say about them is just again emphasize just the quality. It's not just sausage. It's not just the sausage we like to eat,
right.
Jeff. It is the best sausage you can get.
It's not just sausage.
It's not just sausage.
It's not the sausage.
Here's the thing,
love.
Man.
It's
you go into Publix, there's all kinds of sausages.
There's a lot of sausage in Publix.
And I'm not going to lie to you. You might be able to find a cheaper brand of sausage.
Oh, but that's not what you do.
But it's not. It's not good for
you. Do you care what you're putting in your mouth?
Do you care what kind of sausage?
We all do.
Yeah.
Get
Say
you
no
a
more.
Quality sausage
no
in your in your mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, Eddie at Gordo's got to put a Cuban in your mouth on the back of his shirt. We can say, put Register sausage in your mouth. Always.
Yeah.
All right. There's no easy segue from that. Hey, we're going to practice today, and apparently it's going to be a good one. Like, they're going to let him just play. Like, not a lot of install, according to Ira Schofel.
Yeah, that's what Mike Norvell said.
Let's go. Let's
late
play
last
some football.
Week, that they were very heavy on the install on those first 3 days. And I think he was not explaining, but maybe giving it a little bit of a reason why. There were some of the drop passes. There were some of the mistakes we saw in Saturday's practice. They really had gone heavy in the install. And I think they want to dial that back a little bit and get them playing a little bit looser into today's practice. We'll see how the weather is. It may be indoors. We'll see. And then getting ready for that scrimmage on Thursday, man. It's a big deal.
I really wish we were able to watch the scrimmage. Do you think that War Chant as an outlet would get special treatment given that we're the biggest, most popular, largest contingent of Seminole fans and people who cover the sport over everybody else? Could we get in and maybe we could ostracize everybody else who he doesn't trust, but he's in on us?
I think it's worth a shot. Also, if we could offer him a registrar's hat.
We could say, hey, coach.
Nobody
else
is.
He's wearing
that.
Black on black these days. Yeah. We got a black hat. There it is. We can do it. I just would love to see it because I've had a lot of fun through three practices. Today will be a good one too. But I there's so much in the way of change and exciting players and athleticism and new faces. It's just like every day you see something new that you like. Very little that I haven't so far. It's very early. We'll see. There'll be something that comes along that you're like, ooh, I don't like that. But as of right now, things are good.
We're both driving the Jalen Lucas bus.
Man, love me some Jalen.
You're on board too.
Oh, you love him too. Yeah. I was standing next to you. He's also fond.
Yeah. Well, that speed is just. I mean, there's a lot of fast guys out there. He's one of one. It seems like he's incredibly fast and just explosive is a weird term to use because it means fast, but I don't know, man.
You know,
he just
actually,
runs different. He looks like he's got a burst.
Well, I was going to say something. I watched somebody link to it on our message boards and a piece that. I think maybe the Big Ten Network did on him in Indiana.
I've seen it, yes.
And they interview Indiana's former coach, Tom.
Yeah, it's not Siggs.
No, it's not Siggs.
He's Tom Siggs, baby.
Tom Allen, maybe. And he, I was thinking maybe we should call Walt Bell since he was the OC and get his insights.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know if he's busy right
Keen
now.
Keen insight.
The former head coach said that what's really impressive about him is he's got the short distance burst, which a lot of guys have, but then he also has the breakaway speed. And, like, that's the differentiator. There's a lot of guys – I think that was the differentiator with Dalvin. Dalvin, just was at full speed right away. And this guy's got some of that. I'm not saying he's Dalvin, obviously.
Doesn't take much to get to
nearly the same
speed,
size.
Right?
But, yeah, man, he is – and he's got some shiftiness to him. I'm really excited about him.
So you're saying he is or isn't Dalvin?
I'm going to say Dalvin
1.8.
2.0.
Pretty tough. I don't know
Dalvin
that in our 0.8. Lifetime.
Retro Dalvin?
Dalvin 0.7.
Well, think about how good Trey Benson was, and none of us at any point compared him to Dalvin Cook.
Right.
So, like, I'm thinking in our lifetime of covering Florida State, however many more years we all do this, we're never going to say somebody's like Dalvin
100%.
Cook.
But I also think, and Corey, you've referenced this before, because when we were out in California, when Dalvin Cook committed to Florida State, and Jimbo, we talked to him at that press conference, and afterwards – he talked to us a little bit off the record, and the first thing he said was he's one of those guys that changes the numbers on the scoreboard.
Can't wait to get him to A&M. That's what he told us, and we're like, what's he talking about? He's about to coach him.
I was like, don't worry about it, Corey. Let's go to In-N-Out.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, and that's – it just – I always come back to that. It's such a simplistic term.
Yeah.
But that is the deal, man. Like, guys that can score from anywhere on the field is a big deal, and now they've got some guys on this offense that really can score from anywhere on the field that really they have only had one or two in the last
couple
years.
Feels like several. Yeah. That's why we're giddy.
Yeah, in the last 2 years, it's been Benson.
Yeah.
And really, in quite honestly, in 2022, he had, I think his longest run was like 42 yards. Like, he wasn't the home run hitter he became in 2023, or he was and just didn't get the opportunity. But now with Lucas, Benson, Hill, and Lucas, Jalen Brown.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jalen Brown's not slow.
Yeah.
Man, they've got dudes, and I think that will be the difference in this offense for year over year. I also think I would hate to be a defender trying to locate Lucas. Like, I could just see where this is going to be a problem.
Where do y'all see him? How many snaps is he going to get, you think?
Well, listen, I don't know how they plan to use him. I want to preface everything I'm going to say with I'm not giving away trade secrets or anything like this, but it seems to stand to reason, and Mike has talked about it, so I don't feel like I'm violating our rules over here, but he's kind of a guy, I don't think you line him up and give him the ball 20 times, so they're probably going to have to design screens and things of that ilk for him. Just little gadget plays, but you could probably do that 4 or 5 times a game. I mean, he's going to be a problem.
Yeah, you get him on the field probably 15, 20 times a game, but then, give him the ball at least 4 or 5 times, and that's all he needs, man. He's not a guy that needs to plug away, and then make the big run. I mean, he's going to hit it.
Yeah, and I think the downside of a player like that is that he couldn't do
that.
He's not a guy you want to give the ball to 15 times. I mean, he's a little guy.
But really, the last couple of years, you really felt like Deuce Spann was the guy, especially in the receiving corps, but especially in the passing game. Deuce Spann, they got to hit something to Deuce Spann somehow if they're going to be able to take the top off the defense.
Yeah.
Well, now you've got, man, 5 guys at least.
When you have more than one on the field, defenses have to play honest, and they have to cover every inch of the field because of the quarterback's arm making those throws to said speed guys. So that this changes your running game. You know, we talk about everything over the top, but now you can run the damn ball without a crowded box. I think there's a lot of impact this speed's going to have on this team overall and the way that he calls plays.
Yeah, and it's just it's different because also you got a quarterback that can throw it 60 yards.
That's
easy.
What I mean. He's got a cannon.
Yeah, and just easy 60.
It's like when you watch Strider throw a fastball, right?
Yeah.
Like 98. It's doesn't 98 even look like doesn't he's throwing hard.
Yeah, you don't even know if he needs a pocket to step up into.
Right.
You know,
oh, he could just be off one foot and flick it farther than Jordan could throw it, putting everything into it. And that's not a shot at Jordan. It's just the reality of
this
the arm.
This kid's got one of the best arms
in
the country.
The arm strength. But that just that threat changes everything. I think it just changes everything. Doesn't mean their offense is going to be great, but it's going to be different.
Yeah, well, I mean, until we are able to watch a real scrimmage or we're able to see a game, the only other part of that equation that gets you excited or at least tempers that enthusiasm until you see it is how good is the offensive line going to be? You know what I mean? Yeah. If the offensive line takes a big step forward, then I do believe the offense will just be better than it was a year ago. I've said that before we saw any practice. I'm going to stick by that because I think the offensive line will be better. And if they are, given all those other facets we just described, the offense will be more productive this year than last.
Yeah, I think the offensive line will be better. I think, and we can go through the reasons for that, but I also think they'll have better injury luck.
You know? Oh, well, that has to happen,
you know,
right?
There's a couple guys that if they could just stay healthy, it would mean a lot to that offensive line.
If they don't have better injury luck on that side of the ball this year, then they are cursed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nearly impossible not to have better injury luck. That's why you can make certain assumptions. I mean, it's bizarre. And we found out even more after the year. Mm-hmm. Like, you're like, oh, well, this guy was playing at 60%. This guy was playing at 50%. Mm-hmm. This guy couldn't run at all. This guy was just out there to be a decoy. This guy, his ankle wasn't right from week three on. This guy was never okay. I mean, plus
I was thinking about that yesterday. I was doing the Renardo Green story and what he did to Malik Nabers. And then I was looking up Malik Nabers' stats afterwards. I'm like, well, look at that. He was healthy every game and crushed him every game except for Florida State.
Yeah.
And Florida State, their two best receivers either missed 2.5 games completely, Johnny did, or Keon was his
half of
the season.
Yeah, and his great strength isn't going to be the run away from you speed. Anyhow, he's a contested catch guy, right? He made a lot of those this past year, and he had big games and big moments for you. But that is not the same as what we're describing now that they've introduced to this offense. And there was a concerted effort from Mike and the staff to do that. And they, you know, that they'll tell the story of what they were missing every offseason. Every coaching staff will tell you from their actions. The beautiful thing about the transfer portal is they write the script for you. Mm-hmm. They're like, what they go out and target, they're telling you they were missing from the year before or that they were frustrated by at the very least, right? Unless there's a mass exodus from one segment group. But most of the time, they're telling you what they thought they were lacking. They self-scout, every good staff does, and they know they couldn't lift the lid, so people walked down and made everything congested.
And I think you could take that a step further on that note. The fact that they didn't go after a bunch of tackles. Now, there are not a ton of great tackles in the portal.
That's true.
But they also went and got more guards than they did tackles. So I think that, again, speaks to – I think they feel pretty good about the tackles. I think, obviously, Darius played really well last year. I think they're really excited. Alex Atkins really believes in Jeremiah Byers. He thinks he's going to play much better than he did a year ago, and he outlined some of those reasons in the interview he did on during the luncheon.
I'm excited about that, by the way, because in my estimation, Byers did not live up to what we thought he could be a year ago.
Yeah, and I think – and it's one of those things where Alex kind of admitted it without admitting it.
Yeah,
like what
he's not going to dog the guy, but
He didn't say what he didn't do well last year, but he talked about how there's so much more – when a guy comes in, especially in his situation, he may be thinking, I'm going to come in there, I'm going to play for a few months, and I'm going to go to the NFL. And he said – now he is so much more invested in what we're doing and learning exactly why we do the things we do, and how we do the things we do. And he's become a much better teammate and all those things. And you may ask yourself, well, does that really matter? Well, it could on the offensive line. It definitely could matter. And so he's really, and you know, obviously he's new in the system. So he really believes in him. And then you've got the other guys as well. I mean,
you know,
obviously,
he could apply that to, I think, on the other side of the ball. Somebody that came in with a lot of fanfare last year as a transfer. He was like the number two transfer in the whole portal was Fentrell Cypress. And he was fine. He started.
He looks great right now.
Yeah, but he was their third best corner. And there were times where he was, you know, he was their, honestly, the worst DB on the field, which was, they had a lot of good DBs, so that's not a slight.
And he wasn't terrible. He wasn't elite.
Just like Byers, right? Byers wasn't terrible.
That's a good point.
He started. And that's why I think Cypress is. And then you look at him this spring.
He's been awesome.
Been three practices, but he's been great.
Does he look faster to you? He looks
everything
faster
about
to me.
Him looks like
much more intense,
more
much
urgent,
more focused.
Everything is more urgent.
I think he's probably disappointed in the year that he had. I mean, I don't know.
I don't
know.
Think
I don't
he thought
words.
He'd be here this year.
I think he thought he was going to be here for a year. But that's the same thing with Byers. I mean, I think you've got two guys there that probably thought they were among the highest recruited transfer prospects at their positions, had already accomplished a ton, been all conference players. They go in the portal. They come to Florida State. They're probably thinking, man, we're done after 1 year. And then they get their evaluations, and they're not what they need to be.
And so it's time to show out. Boy, I love a year where you have a lot of guys, and we know we can identify them.
Yeah.
Daryl Jackson being one of them, for example, you wrote about this week. A lot of guys trying to go get paid and very, very motivated with intense competition around them. Raise the floor level of talent, and they want to get paid, you're going to see some really
– your whole defensive line.
Yeah.
Other than Farmer's even.
Hell yeah.
No, I meant like he's draftable. Yeah. The whole defensive line is guys that feel like they're going to be drafted next year.
People trying to get paid is a good thing. Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Hey, headliners and elite headliners. It's Ira here, and it's time to talk Shopify. As you remember, a couple years ago, we wanted to create and sell Headlines merch for the best podcast listeners in the world. That's you. But we had no idea where to get started. Now we're selling Yay Sausage shirts, and it's so easy. All because we use Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're a startup working out of your man cave or IPO ready, Shopify is the only tool you need to grow your business without all the struggle. Shopify puts you in control of every sales channel. You could be selling Don Julio socks from Shopify's in-person point-of-sale system or offering headliner shirts from Shopify's all-in-one e-commerce platform. Whatever you need, you're covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And you can sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love most about Shopify is how, no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up today for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/warchant, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/warchant, all lowercase, and they'll help you grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Go to shopify.com/warchant.
Turns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schoffel, and Corey Clark.
Baseball game tonight over in Jacksonville, Florida State and Florida. Knowles won the first game 12-8. See if the bullpen is called upon tonight to try to get key outs. It'll be very fascinating to see if they handle that situation better. Also want to see how Link handles the bullpen moving forward, because there's no getting around the fact that some of the guys who gave it up over the weekend repeatedly are guys that have to pitch for you. So do you learn from it? Do you get better from it? Do you cave? Do you fall to pieces? And how do you handle it? I mean, I think it's going to plague the team for most of the year. But to me, you just got to stop walking people. I'll give up. I don't care if they hit seven straight doubles. Throw it over the plate.
Yeah, I think that's what they told Dorsey right before each of the grand slams.
Yeah, just throw it over
the
plate.
No way he hits another one on you. Yeah. The odds of that are astronomical.
So he's giving up three this year.
What do you think?
But two to the same guy back-to-back games.
What do you think the bus trip was back for, like Tibbs and Ferrer and all these guys that
they're
put
in
up
the back playing cards, joking, watching their videos.
The relievers get on the bus and they're just like
They sit up front. They're separated. They don't want any part of that.
It's just such a weird – it was the weirdest series in the sense of forgetting the drama of it and just the calamity of it, but just the disparity of, like, one segment of the team – well, one or two segments of the team playing an incredible level. I mean, like, not just good. Like, off the charts great.
Yeah, you can't have a better offensive weekend.
Then another side being Clemson.
I actually praise Florida State's offense more than Clemson's.
They earned it.
Our offense didn't get to hit our
off the bullpen,
relief pitching.
Yeah.
So,
or to get to walk against
it. Five straight times. I mean, how do you give up six runs in an inning on one hit?
Yeah. Well, in the ninth inning of that game, they gave up the eight runs on two hits, right? Grand slam and a three-run homer.
That's my thing. Again, listen, you may end up getting lit up. You may have a real hard time getting outs. We'll see. But you cannot walk everybody in front of a good hitter. Let them hit their way on, because baseball's weird that way. It's fickle. They'll hit it right at people. They'll just miss it, pop it up. It happens. Like, the chances somebody's going to register 6-7 straight hits off of you to get that same run total is very thin. You walk the world, and now, you know, you got a left-on-right matchup against one of the best hitters in the country. He's going to wait for you to throw a fastball down the heart because you have to throw a strike. You just walk four people in front of him.
Maybe you just take it on your own and plunk him.
Yeah, you can't hit a grand slam if you're getting
somebody else might do it.
But move his feet.
Yeah. It ain't going to be you.
Yeah.
After the 20th RBI of the week is when I would have hit him. I wouldn't have let him get to 21.
That's the biggest thing, is that if you can't locate, we're going to have a real hard time here, because I don't know what he does. What is Link, or what is Micah? What are you going to do? Like, you've got guys that were not throwing strikes, and it's not that there isn't stuff. You said it yesterday on the Jeff Cameron Show, Ira.
Yeah.
Don't know if you heard the...
It's a good healthy segment.
No, was it 4 minutes or 6 minutes?
Meaty.
Over six.
It felt...
A few topics.
I got to be honest. I mean, Ira and I made up most of the hour. It was
it was one of those.
A long time.
Yeah.
But honestly, that's the biggest thing. Like, I'll live with the giving up of hits. Just, you can't walk the world. And they just kept walking batter after batter after batter.
The weird thing about it is, I was telling Aslan this, is like, man, they had just won four games in a row almost strictly on their pitching. Like, that offense wasn't good against Notre Dame.
No.
They scored 12 runs total.
Yeah, you're right. The weekend before, and you would have argued that the bullpen was a big part of why they won.
That's why they won. Yeah. They scored four runs in back-to-back games and won. And then the Tuesday game, they beat Stetson 1-0. And that was a bullpen game. And Stetson's not a high school team. So that's what was so bizarre, is the bullpen had been pretty good.
Well, I want to add in, and this works for both teams, and it counts for Florida State's offense too. Clemson should be ashamed of himself. That's a child's ballpark. I mean, it is a child's.
I don't think it always plays that way.
Well, yeah, I know the wind was blowing out because of this front that came through.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the warning track.
That's also a child's ballpark. Yeah. You've got a stupid lift in the outfield, and straightaway center's 380. I mean, what are we doing? What are we doing? It's like Yankee Stadium's an embarrassment to Major League Baseball.
Hey, getting kids drafted.
Every Yankee fan should be ashamed of themselves that they go into that child's ballpark to watch big leaguers.
It is interesting how Sunday's game changed the talking points from that series, because if they got beat 8-2 on Sunday, all we would be talking about is the decision to go to Abraham with two runners on in the ninth inning.
Yeah.
But because they got... The same thing happened the next night. It's like, we're not even going to talk about
that. The bullpen is what it is.
But I still can't believe that decision.
So Florida State, it's not going to be a baseball hour, but Florida State is number 3 in the country in batting average and number 1 in the country in fielding percentage.
Yeah, no, they're doing a lot of things right.
That's after 22 games.
A couple of the doubles didn't go into their fielding percentage.
Jordan Williams caught that fly ball they didn't catch in the ninth inning cost them the game.
Yes, it did.
Might probably cost them the series, honestly, just the way baseball works, I think. Dorsey doesn't have any bad feelings when he comes in on Sunday because he didn't have to pitch. Well, because he wouldn't have had to pitch on Saturday if that kid makes that catch. Yeah. But there's domino effects and things can happen. But, man, you think about where this program was 2 years ago, and this isn't me. They could lose tonight. They're playing a very good team. But where they were 2 years ago, where they were last year, where they were horrible at everything.
Well, that's the better way to look at it. Look, this is part of a rebuild.
Now they have one of the best lineups in the country.
They do.
And their infield defense has been phenomenal. The outfield defense leaves a little bit to be desired. The infield defense has been really, really good.
Well, your outfield defense takes a hit when Ross isn't out there. Williams is a better hitter than Ross, but he is not a better fielder than Ross. And so that affects you. But they've got hitters up and down the lineup. I do think...
Yeah, Williams had two home runs taken away from him.
I know.
Him
he would have had a three-home run weekend.
Yeah.
And he made sure everybody knew about the one he did hit out.
Oh my gosh. He did.
Dude, that dude's going to get roped. Somebody is going to hit that
dude
in the face.
The whole team has it in him, man. It's incredible.
Williams, let's chill. But I'm going to say that this, unassailable, they are worlds better than they were a year ago.
Yeah.
They are so much better defensively and offensively. They're an elite, upper echelon, at the very least, offense in the country. So things are better. But they've obviously got an Achilles heel, and we'll see how they try to fix it. I mean, get ready to watch a lot of 10-8s against good teams, because they're going to have to just slug their way to wins.
Don't be bunting a lot. don't be trying to move
like
runners.
Me yelling at the TV in the they 90s at Martin. Punch and Judy baseball. We're in Omaha. The final scores are 18-12. Stop bunting people over, Mike.
The race might be to 12 on a lot of nights.
Yeah. No, but listen, it didn't help that Leiter pitched with 2 1/3.
Yeah. No,
I mean,
no.
He killed you too. And he needed a comeuppance, and he got one because that looked embarrassing. He could not throw a strike to save his life.
And that was the only point I'd make is when you talk about how they pitched against some of these other teams, I get it. But everything changes when you've got real dudes that can do damage in the box because
and who are now, patient.
Yeah, and because now you're not going to get them to chase, and you've got to come at some people. You've got to beat somebody with your best stuff. And if your best stuff's not good enough, it's not fun throwing strikes.
But that's, so why, that's the Saturday why guys effort will was walk. So good.
I agree.
And that's a shame that it was so wasted. I mean, goodness.
I know. I'm just saying that's why you can't say, oh, they've done it before. Well, they haven't done it in that situation, in that environment, against those types of bats.
Yeah.
So it's different.
Would you switch your Friday night starter?
No.
You wouldn't?
I mean, they're going to pitch either way, and he's obviously thriving in the Saturday role, so leave him there.
Okay. I just think he's your best pitcher right now.
And I think Cam probably feeds off of that energy on
Friday. I'd make him the closer. I'd have him pitch every game.
I will tell you, it was the first time that I'd thought about it, but, you know, they've had some guys get hurt. A couple guys they were going to count on before the year started, they lost. But Ben Barrett is sorely missed.
Yeah.
Because he throws strikes.
Yep.
I mean, his stuff isn't overwhelming, but he has 3 pitches that he throws for a strike, and I was thinking the whole time they couldn't go to him, like, well, that dude would at least put the ball over the plate.
Yeah.
He's a competitive kid.
He's also throwing now. Right. He's back to throwing. He hasn't thrown since Greenville. So they got a chance to have somebody aid this situation that you can go to that can eat up a couple of innings by throwing effing strikes.
Primo's in the portal.
Breaking news.
Primo Spears,
5
yeah.
days ago?
Yeah. Just throwing that out
Should
there.
Should we expound
about
on
it.
That? Yeah.
No, we just hadn't talked about it. The Primos, they got to do some stuff with basketball.
The Primo era is closed.
Is over?
Yeah. And Josh Burrell, today, a wide receiver. I guess he's a wide receiver at Florida State, entered the portal today.
We could predict that. I wish him luck.
He actually announced it 2 months ago. He was going to do it.
Yeah. Oh, he did?
Yeah, he announced that he was going to do it once he got his master's, and I guess he's gotten enough.
All right, Josh.
I do think it's going to be interesting. I know nationally several outlets have talked about how this is going to be a bloodbath, that people are going to – you're going to see major names, and I don't know if they're just, you know, trolling for clicks or what they're doing.
In basketball you're talking
no,
about?
No, football. Okay. Nobody cares about basketball. We're talking about football. But the point would be that there's going to be an exodus at a lot of places. And so whenever you hear that, you say, well, okay, how does it pertain to Florida State? I do, and we said this before camp began. Because of the influx of a lot of talent, you could probably pinpoint a certain segment group or two where you think, yeah, they could lose several guys, and a couple of them might be names that sting when you hear it. Now, I don't know. I don't want to predict that, but I would say that it stands to reason. And so when you hear that Josh Burrell, let's just say you didn't know he was going to do that, that's not surprising, but I think there's probably 2 or 3 guys in that segment group alone that are on down the road.
Well, just the sheer numbers of that segment group.
It's huge.
Right? It's like 14 or 15 scholarship
guys. And you wouldn't be surprised if you lost a running back, and you wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, there are plenty of guys. Somebody in the secondary.
It's just really hard to figure out who that running back would be.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no obvious answer, but it's going to be – I think they're going to have 7 guys.
Yeah, somebody's gone.
So, I can't imagine.
And I think there's going to be – you're going to lose. And we're talking about post-spring, right? Well, they're going to see where where the chips stack up after spring. They're going to see where they're thought to be, and that's when the portal will open up again.
And other schools will have seen what their needs are.
Yeah, and so multiple offensive linemen, multiple receivers, maybe a running back, maybe a tight end. That's just on one side of the ball. That's the age we're in, though, right? And you don't judge these kids. If they don't think they're going to play,
no, I don't have a problem. But I'm going to be fascinated by it.
But I do think it's going to be the higher-end players, to your point, because I don't think lower-end players are going to take the risk unless they are basically pushed out the door. Yeah, because the window's so small.
Oh, because they're playing at Florida State.
Well, yeah, and there's the window's so small, and how are they going to make an impact wherever they're going? You know what I'm saying? Like, unless they just know it's the end of the road, there's no way they're getting on the field of Florida State, and it's just desperation. But I just think the reason, like, if you go back to the earlier time when it opens up in December, the lower end players are the ones who jump in first because they want the most time to find a place.
Right.
And get into it and get a spring somewhere.
Like last year, Coleman waited until May. He didn't. He's going to go wherever, you know, he's not going to have trouble finding somebody. It's going to be tougher, I think, for guys in that window because there's just not as much movement and there's not as many schools and there's not as much time. So I think to that point, I do think you could see some some better players. I don't think you're going to see
starters
superstars.
Ought not leave, yeah. But yeah, well, it'll be fascinating because I think it works both ways. Florida State's going to grab a couple people from other people's yeah. rosters too. So like right. as down as you might get when you hear one name, just be like, hold on. I'm sure Florida State's doing what everybody else is doing, which is looking at that depth chart and saying, okay, we're good here. We're good here. Got a bit of a problem here, and they're going to fire at some folks too. So it's going to work both ways. It'll be fascinating, though. This competition is what we've been referencing all along. It's why I wish, you know, in a perfect world, we'd see Thursday's scrimmage. These scrimmages are going to be intense.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, and the other thing I would say is going back to that window thing is I think because it was in that post-spring window when all those guys went to Colorado. Bishop Thomas and Travis Jay and Derek McClendon. I think they all went through spring practice from what I remember last year.
I think McClendon maybe stopped.
He
going
might have
to
been
practice.
In the middle of spring yeah. practice. He might have bailed.
He did. That's correct.
But it's so you know, I'm not saying there's ever tampering, but maybe if there's tampering,
but maybe there's tampering.
If guys know they're going to have an opportunity somewhere yeah, else, then yeah. maybe there's not as much risk to jump.
Did y'all
in
see
that point.
Deion didn't go on a? And look, this isn't going to be a Deion bashing hour.
I already did it yesterday on the
but
show.
But it's indicative of where we are. As a sport, where he didn't feel the need to go anywhere and recruit.
Well,
now, I know
he
that's
also
not normal.
Gave a very unique reason.
He said he's saving the school money, Corey.
He's yeah. saving the school money.
He's worried about the school's expenses, Corey.
And the parents want to come visit his yeah. house, not yeah. the other way around.
To see how he gets down and what God's given him.
And we know that he'll be leaving as
I'm sure
soon as his kids
embraced,
are out the door.
Probably.
You can build a you can build a roster, not a program. Let me check that. You can build a roster with some real talent at certain positions, doing what he did.
No, for sure. If you're Deion Sanders.
If you're right. That's what I'm saying. But yeah. I obviously.
Well, because when he was flirting with Willie about being the receivers coach, and that was when I talked to certain people who know him, they're like, man, there's no way he's going to go on the road recruiting. And at that point, you had to go on the road recruiting.
Right.
But you really don't. In this era, if you're Deion Sanders, you don't.
Yeah.
So I don't blame him for it. I don't know if he's not going to sign. He's not going to sign one kid by going on the road that he wouldn't sign between his image and the NIL. We were talking to the other day. We were talking to DJ Uyunglele and about going to play at Colorado last year. And he said, man, it is unbelievable. He said that you would not believe. And this was later in the year after
yeah,
they'd already started losing games.
Lost every game.
He said the media was unbelievable.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
So yeah, man, he's going to be able, he can do that where most coaches couldn't.
The reasons he gives, though, are less than flattering.
Oh, well, that whole
but
thing.
Also,
he should have just said, yeah, I'm Deion.
He sounds
Deion,
like a fool.
But,
yeah.
like, what if he was a real candidate at Texas or Alabama, and they wanted to hire him, and he told them, look, you can hire me. I'm not recruiting.
Yeah. And right. they said, well, but here's the thing, Deion. Nick Saban recruited.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Would Deion still – I mean, would they – like, that's his next goal is to get a bigger job. And a bigger, or maybe it's
you
not.
Buy that?
He might just be done with college football when his kids are done.
After another we'll three-win season, he may call it a day.
I mean, we'll I do think there's – but it's such a unique
– Hey, Corey said this wasn't going to be a Deion
bashing. Well, I'm not bashing
But he introduced it right as we're going to break.
Sorry.
I love it.
Sorry, Deion. You're my dog. Had your posters on my wall.
You don't even think that.
I did.
You don't even think that.
13-year-old Corey Clark loves Deion Sanders.
Yeah, 13-year-old Corey Clark does. Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Yeah, Ira, I just played the game there. I went to the roster to go through everyone. I didn't realize it was...
How long did it take you to get the roster page loaded?
Are you saying that Seminoles.com is not efficient?
No,
and
no,
that
what?
The,
no,
the
what?
Recent rebuild wasn't a success?
What? No, that's your, no, those are
I,
your words.
That, you're not saying that.
Okay, no. Those are your words.
You don't even...
Yeah, I just mentioned it.
So bad.
I'd like to use it as a...
They do have conveniently all the social media links there instead of
sweet
the
Jesus.
Things, the information you actually want.
Yeah. Anyway. No, it's a failure. Yeah. They failed miserably. But when I look here, there are so many guys. I'm not going to call out any one guy, but there's a candidate, and it's a hard conversation to have.
All right.
Just put it that
All right,
way.
We'll talk off here.
Yeah, but that candidate.
A candidate it, for what?
It, to go.
Oh,
to get the
really?
Hell
oh,
out of here.
Okay.
Yeah,
I thought we were
yeah.
talking about to go to Colorado.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about Colorado. I don't know why anybody would do that. But there's a ton of, like, yeah, the talent. that's what you get excited about. Like, okay, in the midst of this hard conversation, what you figure out with a lot of these segment groups is, to Corey's point earlier, you go back 2 years or 3 years, it'd be very easy to figure out which guy.
Gosh.
I mean, yeah. Now you're like, well, I don't know. This is, it either speaks to A, that, you know, obviously we know the talent infusion, but the competition is tight at a lot of positions. Like, if you want to play the same game with the secondary, holy moly. And I'm not talking about starters, just like, name all the guys in position to get a lot of run as a two or a three.
Well,
there's a ton of them.
I mean, again, this isn't like a knock on any of them individually, but I'm sure that at nickel corner, I'm sure that Greedy Vance, Kevin Knowles, and Earl Little all believe they're going to start.
Oh, 100%. Now,
well, one of them's never going to play. I mean, unless they can cross train them.
I know who that is, but I think you're right.
Well, I mean, yeah, we don't know. But I'm just saying, there's several positions like that where there are not just two guys, there might be three guys. And that safety position is going to be fascinating, man, because I think that's kind of the key to it all is, you know, what do they end up doing there?
But I wouldn't foresee any of the safeties, if they don't get the job immediately, bouncing, because Shaheem's a junior who's draft eligible.
Well, and he's going to start.
Yeah, the other guys are a lot of young guys.
Yeah, but the receiver position to me is the one that's the most fascinating, because you've got, I think, seven freshmen or redshirt freshmen, when you include the four that are coming in, along with Destin, Hakeem, and Vandravius, who all think they're really good, and they all might be very, very good.
They're all second-year players. Hakeem's actually a sophomore.
Oh, okay, gotcha. But they're two-year players, right. Second-year players. So you wouldn't think any of them would be in a rush to leave, because this is their year. This is their year to bout. But then you have Benson and Jaylen Brown. And then also, you've got Portier and Williamson, who have never really gotten a healthy shake here at Florida State, who think this is their year. But not all of the guys I just named, there's Deuce Spann in there too, not all the guys I just named will be on this roster in August.
Yeah, you know,
what's going to be the key for them to go somewhere else? Because they all have a shot to be something at Florida State, but obviously they all can't be
a few guys will accept that they're role players. I mean, a few people will understand. I mean, I don't think Deuce Spann's walking around thinking he's a starter at wide receiver for Florida State.
But what I would say is those three guys, Spann, Williamson, and Portier, I believe are all seniors. So if they're not like a
Spann's
clear
a
path,
redshirt senior.
If they don't have a clear path to playing a lot, those guys might be interested because they would have value. I mean, they're all
Spann
big.
Will go start somewhere. I mean, with that kind of athleticism and speed, lower level,
I think
he'll
Portier and Williamson.
I think Portier and Williamson would too. So I definitely think Portier would. I think Portier's good.
Portier's probably going to play here.
Yeah,
guys.
I know he might start.
Well,
here.
I'm saying it, but if he realizes he's not the guy, one of the guys, that could change.
That's college football in 2024, man. You just know going into a spring and then coming out of it, okay, we have 14 scholarship receivers. Right. In a week, we're going to have 11 or 12.
Easily. This is fun to do. Watch. I'll just name them. I'm not telling you what I think is going to happen with any of them. We have, for the listeners, like, this is what we're talking about when we're out of practice and we see that segment group and we're like, Jesus, that's a big segment group. Ja'Kai Douglas, Kentron Portier, Deuce Spann, Jaylen Brown, Destin Hill, Hakeem Williams, Malik Benson. By the way, I love LaWayne McCoy.
Yeah.
He's looked good so far. Vandravius Jacobs, Darion Williamson. I mean, we can keep going on. There's other kids, like you were talking about the freshmen. I'm really not naming all those guys. And there's some guys that are just, you know, scout team guys. But for the most part, I mean, there's like 10 dudes that are dudes.
And they almost every single one of them, I may say, I have to go back through the list, but I may say every single one of them would have been a star in 2020. Like almost.
Yeah, yeah, there's a couple that maybe not, but yeah, I think you're right.
I mean,
would never heard of Andrew Parchment on 4th and 14. They would have never gotten that Parchment treatment if these guys were here 3-4 years
it's
ago.
It's all a good problem to have.
Got a lot of quarterbacks too, guys. We could do that too. You go, there's like seven dudes in that room.
This week will be good, and unfortunately we won't see the scrimmage, but today's practice will be good. And we got Tom Lang back in town, so that'll be good because he likes to watch the trenches.
Another set of eyes.
But that'll be fun to watch. Some of the offensive line, defensive line stuff. We got a taste of it on Saturday, but I think we'll get to see more of that today. And that was the first, you know, so when we were talking earlier, we focused so much on Jaylen Lucas and some of these skill guys because we've seen them for 3 days. In doing what they do, the linemen, we're really just starting to get a sense of what they are.
I enjoyed that day one of full pads for the offensive and defensive lines. Yeah. So there are some great matchups there, and you got guys to be excited about. I think we're all looking closely after, you know, obviously we know who the starters are going to be in the interior, the defensive line. But then from there, there's a real fight for the reps that are going to be had by the second and third guys. There's some pretty good names in there that are going to be fighting for that, including the transfer, which will be fun. And you look at defensive end, And I think that's fun, too, because I've been impressed so far early on. Marvin Jones Jr. looks like he could fit the bill.
Yeah, man. I just wanted to see it.
Me too.
And I think on Saturday I was like, okay, I'm signing up.
You almost did what I always do. You almost called him Marvin's. And I don't understand why my brain.
Marvin, I caught it though.
You did, but I always want to call him Marvin's Jones Jr. And I don't.
It's Marvin's
Marvelous
son.
Marvin.
It's Marvin's son.
Yeah, that's what I should refer to him as, Marvin's son.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, you see why there was a lot of hullabaloo with him coming out of high school for sure. And he got on the field and started at Georgia a little bit last year.
You just shouldn't look like that. I mean, he looks like a defensive end of the NFL.
At this point, and again, this shows you where you are with this program and this roster right now, I think I would be surprised if he started.
Well, I know why you think that.
It'll be interesting. Those top three are
Lola
really
Hea's
good.
A dude. Beast.
A dude.
And it may be a situational thing, too.
And
because,
I feel like
I think Lola, I was right about
Lola
that.
Lola Hea's obviously got the strength, but Marvin Jones can
move. Don't you think they offset each other pretty well, Peyton and Lola Hea? Like,
I
it's
got
two
you.
Different guys. But but remember last year, and I know you do because you sat next to me at every game, when let's just say the backup DNs rolled in and they wouldn't space them out where it was like
this guy and you guys.
Hey, I got a quick question because this is good.
Just don't take 5 and 11 off the field at the same time.
I'm going to ask what game it was, Ira.
What game
was it when you were like, enough? Corey, enough.
I think it was the game they didn't lose. It was I don't think they lost the game because
no,
of it.
No, but at what point did you?
It was like,
at first you probably thought, okay, fair enough.
I think it was like 5 games in, and it was just like it was just incessant. Yeah, and it's like, dude, I get it, but they're playing well,
and they're playing for something down the road. Yeah. Obviously, they were fresh at the end of the year.
Very fresh, and it turned out none of the games mattered. So they should have just rolled those two dudes out every play.
They could have just played walk-ons at that point. It didn't really matter.
We're not going to need you in December anyway.
But to
the point being, that gap, I'm not going to disparage people here. You know who the backups were, but that gap between
it was significant.
The starters and the backups, a defensive end, has shrunk considerably. Now, look, obviously you don't have Jared Verse anymore, so that's gone down. But then I think if either
Marvin Jones Jr. or Lolo Hea is your third defensive end, you're doing really
great.
Well.
That's really good. That's fun. That's exciting.
The chasm between Verse and Byron Turner,
right?
Very different than what we're going to see this year.
Jeff doesn't mind throwing out names.
I don't.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, we know there was a significant difference in those two.
At least give him
individual.
His nickname if you're going to call him. No, if you're going to say his name.
That's not even a knock on him. Verse is going to go in the first round.
Let him say his nickname.
You know Byron Turner's nickname.
Overdrive?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I knew that was too easy, and I frowned the first time you did it.
Oh,
I wasn't going to encourage.
Classic.
But it's too
classic
easy.
Clark.
It's too easy.
I got to come
if
up with something for Lola.
If you're not
going to
let Corey be Corey, why are we even here?
I'll let Corey be Corey, but I have higher standards for Corey than you do. He's just going to lazily throw out Overdrive, which we all know
about. We got old batted balls.
But
Peyton.
We did that together. That
but
was
I know, I'm saying, yeah. we've got a lot of cool defensive end nicknames. I got to figure out something for Lola Hea.
Yes, and make it good.
Yeah, good. I will. Lola,
by the way, that is funny if you
Lola
look at the screen.
Lola hit
you? Gonna bat the hell
out of that ball?
What are you going to do today, 11?
I'm going to bat the hell out of these balls. You better protect yourself.
It is crazy. He had like 12 PBUs as a defensive lineman.
Yeah, 10 or 12, and whatever it was the most by any defensive lineman in the conference in like 10 years.
That is the best. Well, and he's good at it. There's
he's
a
like
timing
in,
element to
he's
that,
He's like fourth
too.
In the ACC in pass deflections
and
as
by the
a
way,
defensive end.
And they teach that. Like, every coach tells you if you can't get there, get your hands up. But there's a timing mechanism to all this. Like, a lot of guys lazily just do this. My man will break down, stop him, like, oh, no. You're not getting this ball out.
He's
flat.
Actually,
it ain't happening.
He's actually a smart kid. He's a smart football player.
He is. He's got that, what I like to call a football IQ.
Yeah, that's a
you
that's
know,
good way to phrase
it. You know,
people
should use that. People should use
and
that.
And honestly, I think it could be used for other sports besides just football.
A basketball IQ?
You could have a basketball IQ, a baseball. You don't hear baseball
IQ. You
could
apply
IQ
it to everywhere. Yeah.
Tennis IQ? Do people have tennis IQ?
You know, people will say he's got a good mind for the game, but they never say.
I think what they say with baseball is you don't really need an IQ. See ball, hit ball.
Yeah.
Manny Ramirez proves that point.
Yeah, correct.
You can have
by
a
the way,
career.
So we're wrapping up the era. I did see the new Roadhouse.
I did watch it.
I heard it was awful.
I mean, it is exactly what you'd expect it to be.
Yeah.
Conor McGregor is awful.
Yeah, I heard he was terrible.
I don't know what the thing. I guess just to get people to see it.
Yes, of course. Why remake it anyhow?
Well, true. Why remake a classic? They haven't remade Citizen Kane. Why are they remaking Roadhouse?
They should do Citizen Kane with
Conor McGregor.
Conor McGregor. Yeah, he'll be the protagonist. That'll be great.
Yeah, him saying Rosebud, but you can't understand what he's saying.
Oh, goodness gracious. No, see, there's no way for me to turn here. We got 3 minutes left of the hour.
Oh, sorry. I thought we had like 30 seconds
other
left.
Bad movies they should remake with Conor McGregor.
No, we're not going to do that.
Smokey and the Bandit with Conor McGregor?
What I do think,
he could be the Sally Field character.
Of course.
Pick him up halfway through the movie.
You know, by the way, Smokey and the Bandit still plays. If you flip around and it's on and you watch it again, it still plays. And she's still hot as hell. Well, we understand that things have changed. I understand that. Conversations are very different. Yeah. There's a lot of movies like that. I agreed. I'm just talking about the overriding premise and some of the funnier moments they still play.
If you can put yourself back in that time.
Well,
when those things were okay.
I'm not saying it's okay. I'm saying that some of the humor still plays. And oh, by the way, she
is unbelievable.
Unreal.
That's a prime.
We know.
But I gotta tell you that nobody's had a larger window. And this is really, you know, just gross on my part. But that's a 50-year run for her. Like, I think
50 years.
Well, 40. 18 to 60?
Oh, yeah.
18
maybe,
to 60.
But I was trying to think of what
Corey,
movie she
Corey's
was
like,
in 2 years
I'll
ago.
Let any, I'll embrace any hyperbole.
All right.
I love all hyperboles.
I'm not far off.
But I'm not letting you say that.
I'm not far off. 18 to 64?
I didn't see her at 18, and I what
oh,
was she
sure.
at 64?
You want to venture a guess that she was cute at 18?
She was probably
18?
Cute, yeah.
All right, so 18 to 64.
Have you ever dated an older woman?
No.
I thought that's
oh, no way. That'd be gross.
All right. So who's had a longer run? Like Demi Moore or Halle Berry?
I would say Salma Hayek is.
Halle Berry. That's number one on my list of all time.
Halle Berry's probably it.
Salma Hayek was just in that.
Raquel Welch has probably got
the Magic Mike
time.
Whatever the fourth of Magic Mike was. She's still in that. And I know there's Hollywood tricks and stuff, but sweet Jesus.
By the way, did Soderbergh direct the Magic Mike?
Probably.
Why
so she's had a 30-year run. Like,
oh, she's had more
than 30-year run. That was early 90s.
Sophia Loren had a good run.
I was thinking of the Joy Behar.
Who?
I don't think that's who you mean.
Who?
I was
Joy
Behar.
Oh, you scared
Joy
me.
Joy Behar.
He said it so
Joy
well.
Behar.
I was like, oh, my God, he's serious.
I think Tom Cruise.
Hey, everybody's got a thing.
Risky Business was 40 years ago. It's like 42 years ago. And look at that guy. He's still getting it done.
Multiple surgeries.
Probably.
Corey doesn't care.
There's probably.
He keeps himself in shape. Good dude, Brad Pitt, another guy that's had a great run.
I think that's real.
Corey's about to have abs inserted into his stomach. You think he cares about plastic surgery?
And soon it'll be that and calf implants.
Yeah, yeah. And something with my head so I can wear a hat.
Put the hat on again before we round out the hour.
All right. I'm
not
going to
talk. This.
You
can
turn my mic
real
off.
Quick because then we're going to do questions. Actually, I turned his mic off.
Isn't,
why doesn't it sit on your head the way like a normal human being? Pull it down. Pull the hat down. No, it doesn't work. Why doesn't your head?
But here's the thing. I will tip you for filling my gas, because I do. If the gas station worker fills my gas and he looks like you, I will tip you.
I mean, look what it does to my ears.
You just
the
look
whole
ridiculous.
Thing.
It's bigger than your body
this, you
is part of the
doing,
problem.
That
if
hat,
you're watching it, I used to rock hats. Hats were my thing, Jim.
Oh, Tony says turn it backwards.
Yeah, let's see it backwards here. No, that ain't going to work either. Oh,
it's all good.
No, we're going to go without the hat. Go ahead and score registers and just go ahead and hold it up there. That's the way that's going to work.
We're going to auction that off later on the YouTube channel.
All right, well, here's the good news. Next hour, we'll get to your headliner questions, and this kind of buffoonery will cease momentarily. Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio at War Chant TV.